friends. This is episode 4 of the Question Bar with Alina Z, Life Chef, and Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of the Incandescent PR company and publishing firm. It is April 8th, and both of us, I can see by the look in her eyes and how I feel in my body, it's not such a great day. Tell me what's happening in your world.
You know what? Last time when we did our call, it was April Fool's, but I forgot. You know, I was like going around my day and I saw this post, and it was by Truth Social, which I cannot verify if it's true or it's photoshopped, but I totally took it as true because, like, all caps, like, you know, the president of this country post, and it said, like, starting on Monday, I am ending dual citizenships and everybody's going to be deported to their country because we don't want people who are dual citizens. And you are allowed to have dual citizenships in America. But it threw me into a tailspin. Like, I freaked out. And then I realized it was probably an April Fool's joke, like somebody, you know, photoshopped it. But I was just like, oh, my God, like, freak me out. And then today I'm like freaked out because I saw that I double checked on the White House website. It said that on January 22nd, he put some kind of like border emergency act. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but he gave like 90 days to clean up. And if they don't, he can legally use martial law because he can say it's not proper. And I live in a border state. So he can very well say something like that. And I live, every border state and every state on the ocean is considered border state. And so, like, they can create martial law anywhere, you know, California and whatever. And it just threw me into a tailspin again. And then I know there's going to be a big protest planned on the 19th, but they're saying, what if he plans people who do things that are not peaceful? Because when there was George Floyd protest, I was watching it from my window in my old apartment, and it was peaceful. They were just walking. And then another group of people came from the other side of town and started looting. It was completely different groups. And so, like, it just got me thinking, like, what is happening? And it's like, today we're recording on April 8th. What, like 11 days from now, 12 days from now? Like, it is, I'm very uncomfortable right now. I'm very, I don't want to say scared because I don't want to put that word in my mind and my body, but I'm very unsettled. I feel very unsettled on what's happening, what's going to happen. And I know we want to talk about control, and I'm like, okay, well, let me see how can I help other people so I can help myself, because it's this lack of control is what taking our power away. You know, so, yeah. But that's how I'm feeling. Like, it's like, doesn't matter if you're white, black, American, like, even if you're American, born in America, they're saying, like, you know, you have no right to say something against the president. If you're in a school, if you're attending a school as an American, you cannot protest in school. Like, it's a public place. But anyway, it's just made me very uncomfortable. And that's how I'm feeling right now. How about you?
Same. And uncomfortable is a good word to describe it. I read so many articles a day trying to make sense of it, and then I'll take a break from it and I'll try and cheers. Here's club soda in.
Cheers, yes. This is not vodka. Honestly, I'm so proud of myself for not being an alcoholic and really feeling my feelings and not trying to forget things, because the temptation is real. To just like say F everything and just get drunk and forget about things, but that's not a solution. So I'm drinking water with cranberry juice in it.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
I feel like, you know, this, I love that. So each episode we theme it. And so control is what we decided last week. And I've been thinking about that since our conversation. And what does it mean to have control, be in control, let go of control, you know, just release it to the universe, which is something that we both really aspire to, right? As yogis, and, you know, I'm a jubu, and I just really feel like I will to will thy will is my mantra. But this is so like, it's like the earth keeps moving under our feet. And I've been through this before in my personal life, but this is like global,
It's
literally
collective.
global, right? I was at a networking event and I was waiting for a friend to show up, and I was standing at the bar listening, and there was a gentleman from England, another journalist was there. We just struck up a conversation, and he just texted me today, asked checking in because he's back in England, and what's going on here? And he's like, I'm gonna go look for my 401k, see if I can find it. Because it's crazy, just how everybody's finances, security, future, everything that we have depended on, held on to for comfort is being ripped away. And there it feels truly like there is nothing we can do.
I was at the protest on Saturday, and that's what we do now, Saturday protest. And it was really like so many more people than I've seen before. And I know people are coming together. My mom went to the DC protest. And so like people are rising up, and we need more. I think it was like 5 million, but we need 12.5 million. So I'm praying that the 5 million that showed up will share where they were, and like will be, because a lot of people, the good news is a lot of people didn't know about this protest, so maybe more people will know next time. Otherwise, they said they would have come. But I saw people who were disabled, like with walkers. There was an old man, like in his 80s, with a walker, and I didn't talk to him. But I'm like, what's anybody else's excuse? But there was this other man who was like maybe 60, and he was showing me his phone, like how much money he had and how much money he lost in the last 2 days, and that's like his savings for retirement. And like, it's like somebody's like punching you in the gut, like seeing these people suffer, and he didn't vote for it. And I'm like, this, what can I do? Like, you can't help everybody. Like, I mean, if you're Elon Musk, you can literally give everybody $1 million and help everybody. But how can we, like, as just regular civilians kind of thing, help, and what can we do? And I came up with three things that I can control. And I sound like a broken record. I feel like I'm an alcoholic in a way. It's like one day at a time, one day at a time, like 1 hour at a time. Because I think that as much as we want alcohol, some people, alcoholics, want and crave alcohol. We crave control, and we crave certainty, and we cannot get it right now. And so we have to live without it and learn to manage, because maybe alcohol is some kind of control too, because like you're satisfying some kind of need. And we have a need for safety. We have a need for security, for certainty. And right now, it's not being satisfied. And so I came up with three things I can control. And just so I can think about food, clothes, and my attitude. Like, those are the things I can control. I can choose what I wear. I can choose what I put in my mouth. And I can choose what attitude I have. And those are the only things I can really control right now. So like I went and I got food. And you know what also threw me into a tailspin? And I'm like, you can look at it both ways. So I pull up to Trader Joe's at 8 in the morning before the crowds. There's a line of like 200 people. And I'm like, is this COVID? Like, did I miss an announcement? Like, what's going on? A huge line. Like, I freaked out. I was like, fine. I park. I wait. The line doesn't go any. I got there like 5 minutes to 8. I thought the store would open. They would all go in, but they didn't. They were standing in line as if they're like letting some people slowly. So I go and I ask, like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, they're releasing some totes today, like little canvas totes that are like limited edition, and everybody wants to get them because I guess they resell them or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And so I go up to the guy, I'm like, I just need to shop. He's like, oh, you can just go right ahead. So I went in shopping. But there were people waiting in line, and I said to them, listen, this guy just told me, like half in between the line, he said he works at the store. He's like, you can just go in. I said, I'm gonna go. If you guys wanna go, just wait for 5 minutes. If I'm not back, then obviously I'm in the store. So I went into the store. I shop, I get out, and one of the girls was still in line, still waiting. And so I'm thinking, okay, you can look at it different ways. You can look at it, the universe say, hey, don't be scared by what you see. Like, there are things you don't know. You didn't know there was this launch and everything is okay. You got plenty of food and you're taken care of. You can also look at it. Hey, most of these people are not even here for the purses, for the bags. They just like herd mentality. They didn't have the guts to go and ask, hey, I'm here for food. Why is there a line? Can I go shop? Because when I went to the front of the line into the store, I said, I'm just here to shop. They're like, oh yeah, go right ahead. This line is not even for the store. This line is for these three registers to buy the bags. So like, you have to ask and not trust people. And so maybe, or maybe it was a sign, universe, hey, do you remember those lines? Get ready. Like you can look at it different ways. You know, I'm choosing to look at it as everything is fine. Just because you freaked out doesn't mean anything and you're fine. Just go ask people and don't trust the herd mentality. But it like, I'm in this really nervous, like today, since I heard about this border act that he signed, and it wasn't fake news, and it is 90 days, and 90 days expires on the 20th. And so who knows? And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm packing, like, am I going to just leave the country? Where am I going to go? Am I going to go to Canada? Am I going to go to Spain to live with my sister? Like, it's hard. Like my mind is like racing a mile a minute.
Yeah, I think everyone is doing that, how to stay safe. But I think the truth is that like we're just wasting our energy. And you know, it takes me by the, you know, by the guts, by the heart to understand how to cope, and because I don't think we can understand what's going on. Like I keep trying to figure out what the point of this is, and it's just like, you know, little kids fighting on the playground, but they're doing it with our lives, our money, our futures, our kids' futures. And just what's going on at universities is so breathtaking, how they're trying to shut them down and make America even dumber than it is right now. You know, and I have an intern who's at the University of Pennsylvania. I may have mentioned Erin. But now I'm having her write articles about what's going on campus at Penn and what's going on at universities from her perspective. And I'm encouraging her to have some of her other students write for us. And I have friends who are at the National Press Club who are reporters and also publishers of other publications. And we're just going to get these kids to explain it from their perspective. And then soon, hopefully soon, I'll be launching Incandescent Kids magazine so that we can really give kids a voice. So to me, like I keep mining down into my intuition, my experience, projects that I have long wanted to launch, and using those as forums to get people's voices out there. You know, until they shut me down, if they shut me down. But, you know, and the other crazy thing is I work at this massage place in DC, you know, and what's going to happen with that kind of a business? You know, if you can't afford food or clothing or shelter, you're not going to go get a massage, right? And there's so many restaurants around that are going to be impacted by this because it's too expensive to eat out. Like Trader Joe's is the new fancy restaurant, as far as I'm concerned. Like Aldi is where I go for groceries if I want to treat myself to something. You know, like they have these little frozen sushi logs. You know, like all right, I'll do that, but. The interesting thing too is I'm trying to track like what people are doing here in Northern Virginia. I'm in Alexandria. So I have bought nothing on Amazon, but there was something it was in my cart and so it was delivered and I had to return it. So I went to return it to Whole Foods here and the parking lot is usually full, right? And it was there maybe like a fraction of the cars.
That's great. That's good to know.
And it looked like, you know, people were also getting the no Amazon idea. And then even at Trader Joe's, I popped in there last night for that little sushi roll, and there was barely anybody in there. It was like 5:30, which shocked me because that place is usually pretty packed. So I think people are getting really nervous about spending any money, you know. There, you know, that march that was here was, you know, zillions of people showed up in DC, but they weren't really in DuPont Circle where I am, which I thought was interesting. So, you know, what are we doing? What does the migration look like? These patterns.
Well, I know the big protest was down by the mall in
Yeah,
DC
right.
and like with the Washington Monument. So like my mom was there, and so I think most people went there because it's where usually people protest in DC. So I think that's okay. But I'm really glad to hear that there were fewer people at Whole Foods. And you know, from what I hear, like, and people who are MAGAs, they're like, oh, I didn't vote for this. I'm not gonna support this. And like, they're waking up, but only because it concerns them. Like, once it concerns them, they're fine. But if it takes somebody else's money or somebody else's freedoms, they don't care, which sucks. But you know, I'm like, okay, one way or the other, at least they're switching sides and not trusting a con artist. But there's still so many people who trust him. And It is scary still, you know, but I'm trying to focus on positive. There's more people waking up, more people protesting, more people are concerned. And I think, you know, you asked the question, like, what's the point, right? Like, what's the point? It's like kids on a playground. And I was thinking about it. Let's say a playground had some good places and some bad places. And on inside, maybe it was rotting and maybe it was bad. And, you know, people who are just concerned about money and, you know, charging kids to play on the playground, they just like, oh yeah, go play. And then now that they're fighting, maybe it will expose that it's not, I don't think it's a party thing, honestly. Like, I don't think it's the Democrats or Republicans. It's like the lobbying. I think the problem with our system is the lobbyists, honestly. Because if we didn't have the lobbyists, then the politicians wouldn't be bought. And if politicians were really concerned about the well-being of our people, they would be doing, like, I don't know, free healthcare, like universal healthcare, because then they would be taxing the rich. But the rich is lobbying them to not be taxed. And so we don't have enough tax money to cover the universal healthcare. And then the healthcare is private. The food corporations are private. And pharmaceuticals are private, and they all don't care about healthy people because healthy people don't make money for them, right? So all of those industries are interested in keeping people sick and uneducated, and the politicians are okay with that because they get the money. So I don't think it's a Republican or a Democrat here. I think it's whoever pays the most. So for me, I think that if, let's say, Democrats, like, let's say Michelle Obama, when they got elected, she's the first lady, was like, let's talk about health and let's talk about organic gardening and let's do it at the White House and let's talk about moving. And people did not like it because these big companies were going to lose money. So even if a Democratic president and his wife were about to expose something, they would be shut down. And so now with this new administration, maybe it will be fighting so much and doing some everything. Like, yeah, of course there's ways to clean up things, but you don't just go destroying things and then cleaning up. You figure out a system that you move things to, right? Like, here's how we're gonna do things and here's how it's gonna be all clear. And then we're gonna move these people to new jobs, not just like get rid of everybody, right? But maybe since it's already done and we cannot fight the past, we can only fight the future, right? We can change the future. We can say maybe the point is that they will self-destroy. Like Trump's administration, if they're destroying everything and everyone, maybe they will destroy so much that the whole building, the whole playground will collapse on them. And nobody can blame anybody else because they literally did it themselves. Although I'm sure they're still gonna blame. They blame Biden. Oh, the economy was too inflated. The economy was too good. It was Biden's fault. Like, ridiculous. But I'm just thinking, like, again, to make the long story long, they're fighting to expose the background and to crash and burn themselves. But there will be casualties, unfortunately, and people will suffer, and it's all going to be a mess. But that's the only silver lining that I can see, that they will expose the whole system that's not party related. To me, that's how I look at it, because lobbying as a system is not a party, you know? So that's my only take on it, so to make sense of it.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's happening. There's just so many casualties, so much, so much is broken and breaking that they can't fix it. What's going on with China is remarkable. One of my clients wrote some fiction books called The China Factor and The China Connection. He's an intellectual property attorney who's retired and now writes these cool books. And so he's been blogging, timothytrainer.com. You can go check it out. So he's been blogging about what's going on with international trade with China, and it's shocking and how these dominoes are going to fall. I was reading an article today about the Putinization of America, how we've completely taken that playbook. Or this is,
Oh my God, totally.
and you have firsthand experience with.
I don't want to talk about that, but you know what? I was thinking something, like, again, I'm trying to look at positive things, and I'm thinking, okay, if people cannot afford a iPhone, because it's going to be $3,000 or however much. Well, maybe people won't be switching iPhones that often. It will be better for pollution. I don't know. Like people, maybe they're buying too much of plastic and maybe it will reduce the pollution. If things come to a standstill, it will be better for the environment. I mean, actually, have you seen this video? They said that if animals cease to exist, the whole humanity will be like the whole world will be trash, basically. But if people cease to exist, the whole world is like green and butterflies and flowers and everything. Like it's just the people are the biggest animals, really, that make it dirty. So I don't know if people cannot afford plastic bottled water because plastic is too expensive. I don't know how we get plastic. Do we make manufacture plastic? I don't even know what we. I know we manufacture a lot of stuff. I know we also import a lot of stuff. Like things I didn't think about, like canning. You were talking about like aluminum, right? We import aluminum from Canada. So like a soup will be more expensive because now the raw material is more expensive. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe people will buy less and maybe make more soup at home because they can go and buy things from the local farmer. But again, I'm not excusing the way they're doing things where they're hurting so many people because there's so many different ways to make everybody prosper and bring Americans to have a great life, you know, with proper healthcare, with local food, with local manufacturing, those things. But at the same time, this is a global economy. Like you cannot deny, we cannot say we're on an island, you know.
Yeah, and I was reading articles about how Robert Reich was writing about how this idea that we'll create factories here and have Americans be prosperous by working in factories. A, we're not trained for that. People, you know,
They're not
don't
going to do
need
it.
to do that. And to build something new is unaffordable because all of the building materials are unaffordable, right?
Who's going to build it? All the immigrants that you use cheap labor are gone or going to be gone. And honestly, I think, and this is just my conspiracy theory, they're probably going to be like, hey, who wants to work in the factories? Oh, nobody? Let's put robots in here because you guys didn't want to do the work. It's on you. You are the problem. You're the whining ones. And now all the robots are doing taking American jobs. And we just send all the immigrants, and what are the Americans gonna do?
I think that has a lot to do with it, the impact of AI on the future. I was thinking about that horrible memo that Musk sent out asking people what are the five things they did last week.
Oh my God.
And I thought, you know what? Maybe
What did you do last week?
they're harnessing that information for AI, right? So if they collect all the tasks that like zillions of people were doing for the government, now AI can replace that. Now they know exactly, right? So, and then who's, then people just get poorer. No one has a job. I mean, they're laying off even more government workers, which has a huge domino effect, obviously, on all businesses and everything. And now people are not going to be able to afford to live. What is going to happen? So many people are going to get sick and die. Animals around the world already are. I was reading another article. I read a lot of these articles because I'm trying to understand what's happening. The BBC was reporting about how a bunch of hippos, 50 hippos, were found dead in the river because they what was that that virus that went through the postal service? Anthrax. There was anthrax in the water, and they come by it naturally, but maybe the water was poisoned, and so. Animals just, and I keep hearing that this dolphins and seals are coming up on the beaches and just so that thought about that. I know. People don't want to talk to me because
Yeah.
it's,
My heart aches. Like, I just want to cry all day.
I know. And just the blowback on all of it. I was just talking to my friend Marie, who's a medical illustrator, and all these shutdowns of scientific research. That's what she illustrates, right? But the good news, so I like trying to think of some good news too. So how cool is it that, hundreds of years ago, so many of us came over from Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, right? From around the world, actually. And now, because of this, we're all going to go back and we're going to make Europe strong again, right? It's going to be this whole new experience where America, like you said, will probably turn into an island. I don't know, I don't really have any place to go. I am from here for generations. I mean, my family was originally from Kiev, but that was generations ago, right? So it's just nuts. It's nuts. There is no escape hatch. That's the crazy thing. It's like childbirth, right? You're like, you just got to go through it. There is nowhere to run. You have
Well,
to.
you know what? Actually, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that because I realized when we were talking, when pandemic was happening to this astrologer, and she said that we were entering the age of Aquarius for 100 years. Like, you know, usually the cusp of an astrological sign is like a day, right? But for an age of Aquarius, which is like 2,000 years, it takes 100 years to transit. And we entered it like in the 50s, I don't know, 40s, 50s, I don't remember, 60s, the age of Aquarius, you know, they're singing the song. And right now, until like 43, I think. I cannot remember the date. Don't quote me on the dates. But it's like we have like a little bit more to go, like 10 years, 20 years, that it's like the birthing, it's like the head, it's like, you know, whatever. Like, you or the last parts, and it is, I guess, part of it. Yeah, we're birthing something new, as and we're supposed to be. I keep telling myself, I'm like, we're supposed to be birthing something good. This is the age of Aquarius. This is the age of, you know, higher self, people being heart-based, and maybe this is a hard way to get out, or like, you have to go with a bang with the hate, and so they will self-destroy, but they need to like wind themselves up for it. I don't know, but I was talking to this lady this weekend, and she said there's a show called Telepathy Files, and she said that there's a lot of kids that are born autistic, and they communicate through their mind and telepathically. And she's like, one woman said that her kid was like having an, you know, anxiety panic attack, and she put crystals around him, and he became quiet because he felt the energy of the stones. And just because he feels them, but and he understands them, doesn't mean we don't feel them. We just don't know what we're feeling. It's so subtle. And they're saying more and more kids are born autistic because it's possible that people are transcending to that space where we're communicating heart-based. And like autistic kids or like Asperger's, they don't understand lying. Like to them, they just say things as they are. And there's like so much like being naive about things. And it's beautiful in a way. Like imagine a world where people don't lie, you know, where there's no greed. They're like, oh, I don't need so much money, I just need this much money here. You need to buy bread, here is this money for bread, but I have three yachts, you know, I'm okay. So that could be a beautiful world we're entering in. It's just the dust right now. It's like somebody coming with a what is it, wrecking ball.
Yeah, well, that's the machete or whatever that chainsaw that Musk was holding. Yeah, it is, you know, and maybe it is labor pains, right? Maybe it is, you know, because that hurts like hell, you know. I liken being in labor to like, you know, like when you're putting a jar on a you know, lid on a jar, you're twisting it, but you just keep twisting and twisting and twisting until it kind of breaks in your hand. That's what it felt like. It's just like it's so being in labor really. It's painful. But then, boom, baby comes out and you don't feel any pain anymore. It's just all done. You hear that cry and your life changed. And so maybe that is part of exactly what you're saying. Maybe that's what we're going through. This is just this horrible experience, you know, because I think as empaths, right, we want people to be okay. We want to love. We want to spread that, sprinkle that fairy dust. It's actually very cool. I do like 10 massages a weekend when I'm at this spa. And I'm an energy worker, so I have two Reiki master certifications. And I can feel that like my energy field getting stronger by working on all these people. And it's really interesting too. If someone has dense energy, I will be exhausted after that massage. You can really feel it. I'm trying to move the energy. You know, I do a bunch of different, use a bunch of different techniques energetically. Like pranic healing is really powerful. I love that work, where you move the energy on the ethereal plane and you kind of burn it off and bring good energy in and use the Reiki to transcend that space, which is, that's beautiful to me. So I'm so honored to be able to do massage like that. And I actually want to start doing more pregnancy massage. That's one of my specialties. And I'm trained to do infant massage, which is you teach the parent to bond with their baby. It is very cool. So, you know, this opportunity to really think out of the box, see what's possible. These old ways are not working. You know, I own a PR firm, so I'm having this conversation with a small business about how they can be more effective during this time, right? And the resistance for change is so intense. You
I
know,
know,
they
but
know
that's
they
because
need.
it's because our nature is we're resistant to change. Sorry, just go ahead. I just want to tell myself that it's okay that I'm being resistant to.
Yeah. And so I think what are we doing that's good? Well, we're having this conversation, and hopefully this conversation will help others and inspire more conversations. We put together the Empowered Together Network. So the biggest win for that $150 a year is that you get a 20-minute interview. And I am doing so many because so many women have joined us. And we'll just keep trying to teach each other, right? Teach a class, take a class. That's our plan. You're going to teach archetypes, which is so much fun. We're just going to do it together until, you know, we're dancing on the Titanic.
Well, you know, that people, what people, the lobsters on the Titanic, they were mighty happy, you know, so you never know, right? You never know. And like, I was talking to my boyfriend, I said, you know, Coco Chanel became popular because during the First World War, there was a shortage of fabric, and she came up with clothes made out of jersey. Because jersey was cheap and available. And so like Publix also the store, grocery store Publix became popular. No, like actually started during the Great Depression. So there are ways to find how you can be of service and how you can help people. And you just need to figure out like the different look of it. It's just exhausting. And I think like, you know, I was talking to my friend and she said she hasn't been eating this much before ever. And like her, and I would watch our food, but she's like, I can't stop. I'm like, it's just, we're so freaking stressed. It's a stress. We need some Depramine, some serotonin. Like you turn on the news every single day, there's something. And it's exhausting. And so having these conversations, like I feel like moves the energy out and just like saying it and being like, okay. And then it bubbles up again and you have to do the same thing over and over again. And
it's a practice. Like if, you know, we want to be yogi, this is our practice. I mean,
oh my God.
Ready? All right. Ready? Take a deep breath in. Hold it. And let it go. You know, it's amazing when I do massage. Some people are really good breathers, and I'm always guessing that they practice yoga. And some people don't know how to breathe, right? And I had to learn how to breathe when I was doing my Kundalini teacher training because breath of fire, it's a big way to like raise your vibration, raise the heat in the body so that you can let go of stuff, right? So I think, you know, instead of gravitating to something that may not be good if to put in, I tend to walk a ton, like walk, 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 walk. And our friend Cynthia said she would like after the day after the election, she walked 10,000 steps.
You have to move the energy, yeah.
Yeah, so you got to move the energy somehow and coming together with these deep breaths, right?
I know breathing is key, all right? Breathing. We can control our breathing. There you go. I'm going to put four things I can control: my clothes, my food, my attitude, and my breathing.
And I think that this whole concept, as we wind down on this episode, you know, this whole concept of control, I mean, like, as I said, I was thinking about it all week, and why is it that we want to control things?
Well, it's the ego, right? We don't like uncertainty because we don't know what's going to happen. And if we don't know what's going to happen, how can we survive? Like the certainty is we've done it, we've survived it, so we know how to deal with it. So, but even if it was bad, we know we survived it. But the uncertainty is like, but what is going to happen? And it's like trusting, it's having faith, right?
I'm protecting yourself, right? That is, I mean, as an entrepreneur, I'm constantly doing that. I'm looking out at the landscape and trying to figure out how to position what's happening out there and how to position the company so that we can continue to stay in business. And now this landscape is hard to even see because it's constantly moving. I mean, these zillions of articles that I seem to be reading every day, you know, they just sent a letter out to HHS saying that they can go to Alaska or to the natives, you know, in New Mexico, which is illegal. Like you have, there are processes in place, right? And so who's going to move from DC to Alaska or lose their job? And I mean, it's just, these are Sophie's choices, you know, I mean, hopefully not that bad, but you know, this is just awful. And there's no way around the awfulness. So instead of focusing on all the things that are terrible, I'm just trying to figure out just for today, to your point, you know, what can I do?
Just for today. You know, Michael Brennan Beckwith at one of the services in Agape, he said, just for today, let it be all right. Just for today, just let it be all right. And I read in the book that it said that if you feel like your life is hell, it will continue. You have to make yourself believe that this is heaven, because if you think this is good, the universe will bring you all the good stuff. But if you complain about what's happening, then the universe is going to bring you more stuff to complain about. And it's like, also, you can't be Pollyanna and you cannot pretend. So it's being honest with yourself, understanding that you freak out, relaxing in the freak out, and trusting everything's going to be okay. And I was talking to a client today, and she said, you know, she understands all of that, but she still freaks out, like in the middle of the night. And I was like, well, relax, allow yourself to be freaked out. Like, what helps me is that if I cannot sleep, I'm like, oh, I have anxiety right now. I cannot sleep. I'm going to relax in not being able to fall asleep. And then I fall asleep. It's kind of like funny when you allow yourself to be neurotic, you stop. Or like when you allow, it's the allowing, it's a non-resistance. Like Abraham Hicks, they talk about how you want to go in a space of non-resistance, because you don't know what's behind what's happening. And if we're like, oh my God, May rain, no, April showers bring May flowers or whatever, right? So maybe this is it. Like, I don't know, but it's like, I freak out. Like I just constantly, like, I feel like I'm this bipolar psycho. I'm like, everything sucks. Everything's great. Everything sucks. Everything's great. Everything sucks. Everything's great. Everything, like I constantly go into the fear mongering, because like you turn on the news, I don't even watch the news, but you turn on going social media, somebody posts something, you read something, you go on New York Times, you see something, you go, oh, okay, maybe let me just double check. It's real news. You go on the White House website, you know, you see him speak about stuff. You're like, okay, it's real. And then you're like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Let it be all right. Like maybe there's a gift behind it. Maybe there is something we don't know. Maybe there's bigger play. I don't know. I'm just going to trust. I'm just going to trust. And what can I do? And do what I can. That's been my survival mechanism, my coping mechanism. Because like when I read the thing on April 1st, like that about the dual citizenship, I just freaked out. Like hope, like I was just like, oh my God, he's going to start doing it tomorrow. I mean, yesterday. And then my father looked it up. He's like, it's not real. Nothing has been done. Like, most of the countries, people with dual citizenships, not most, but so many people have dual citizenships. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go to Spain, live with my sister, then go to Canada. Like, it's just, but you have
Taking
to.
A
I know, I know. I keep reminding myself that in that movie, it's like when the guy goes, aren't you worried? And the guy's like, why? Would it help? You know, and he said it a few times.
I love that movie. There's so many lines.
What movie is that? I never seen that movie. I just saw a part of it.
I think I've watched National Treasure like 7 million. Oh. I love Nicolas Cage in that movie, and I love American History, so it's perfect. But he says something like Riley Poole is his, you know, his sidekick, and he's very nervous, and he says something like, "I'm going to pretend not to be afraid," and the Nicolas Cage character goes, "Well, how about if we're just not afraid?"
I think pretending sometimes is more important than, because you cannot fake it, but you can pretend, because pretending means I know, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then you somehow shift.
There, and naming it, you know, like today or right now, I feel X, and then it lets that energy out, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's helpful, but because it's so unpredictable, and unpredictability is the opposite of what most control freaks like me and sounds like you. And most
I'm an A type. Like I like to know things. And I mean, I know I think a lot of people who are like earthy signs, like water signs, like we, like you're Cancer, like you need to understand that this is what it is. Like this is my stuff. This is what I'm like earth sign, Taurus. This is what it is. And air signs, they're like, oh, everything's fine. Everything's going to be great. So I think we just have to learn how can we grow from this? How can we get better? Take care of your body, take care of your food, take care of your breathing. And then do what you can, and don't stress about things you can't. Like go protest, go do things that you can. And that's it. That's all I'm gonna leave with for today.
And my parting thought is friendship, right? Every time I have an amazing conversation, it's just so magical and
That's true.
such a gift. You know, I have this fantasy when I feel like I need human interaction, I imagine myself sitting around the campfire with a whole bunch of people and just the smell of the burning wood and being outside, you know, and sometimes I envision being in jackets, sometimes it's summer, and just, you know, that idea that we're all together. Somehow, collective experience, and truly, because we don't know anything that's going to happen next, you know, this is the reality always. It's just scarier now because everything that we've held true, you know, held in our hearts, held it for, you know, what we've been trained to do. We've been so good about doing what we were supposed to do. Now it's being taken away, and it doesn't seem fair or right or humane or kind. So we just have to be those things, fair, right, humane, and kind. That's my rule for today.
Want us to be afraid. They want us to be angry and panicking, and I don't want to do that. I want to be humane and kind and gentle. And there are moments that I have, and some days I'm like so high on life and just so happy. Oh my God, sun shining! Like how great is that? Oh my God, I'm alive! How great is that? So like trying to be in that space. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Okay. All right, Miss Alina Z.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Hope.
Thank you. Thank you to all of our audience members. We really appreciate you taking time to listen with us. Please check us out and join the Empowered Together Network at incandescentwomen.com. There'll be links on the video and in the liner notes. So we will talk to you next Tuesday at 2. That is our plan. Stay well, our
Yes.
friends.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.